Thank you. I know you guys are running late, so I'm going to run through my introduction as fast as possible. So as most of you know the issues we have in Africa, in many places with retaining organic matter, sandy loam soil textures that make it more difficult, and also soil that's in many places naturally low in phosphorus, which is going to be limiting to crop growth. Then the other issues we have is that crop residues are used for village industries, animal feed, and fuel during the dry season. So there's a lot of demands on organic matter and crop residue. A nice study I saw out of Niger showed that after 5 years, addition of millet residue impacted crop growth more than fertilizer addition. There was also a nice talk yesterday in Agronomy in Africa that had some of the same conclusions. When residues were added in conjunction with fertilizers, biomass was increased threefold compared to that with fertilizer or residue additions alone. So this really highlights the importance of the crop residues being left on the field. And then, of course, there's also impacts on soil pH as that improves. So how do we build up enough biomass to improve our organic carbon levels, especially in soils that have textures that are not very conducive to organic matter buildup, such as sands or kaolinic clays? So we've got to improve our fertility and our pH, retain crop residue and organic matter, and do intercropping. One of the things I've noticed when I'm in Africa, you know, in the United States, when you have a tree line next to a field, you always have the lowest yields, like the corn will be half the height next to the tree line. When I'm in Africa, I've noticed that under the tree, that's where the best crops are, because that tree drops its leaves, and that is about the only residue left in the field. So how do we keep crop residues in the field? Well, there's all the obvious stuff that we talk about all the time. Don't burn. This kind of depends on the crop, but some people remove it for threshing. You know, that's not so true in maize, where we remove the ear. But in soybean, the entire plant is removed from the field to thresh, and that plant is also pulled out by the roots, leaving absolutely nothing behind. Oh, there's a beeper going off. Oh, it's me. And then we need to evenly distribute that residue across the field, and we also need to find alternative sources of animal fodder. Now, to me, many of those things can be answered through mechanization. And we talk about, you know, as we talk about conservation agriculture, a lot of times we focus on tillage and planting, and what we don't focus on is how did we harvest that crop and what happened to the residue when we harvested. So what happens in the United States? We run through with big combines, right? And the residue, it gets sort of macerated and shot out the back of the combine, evenly distributed across the field. And that's what we lack in many places in Africa. Now, I'm not advocating that we all go out and buy a bunch of big John Deere combines and start harvesting fields in Africa, but there is appropriate technology that we can use that would help us to retain organic matter in the field. So in these pictures, you can see the picture on the left. The women have all removed the soybean plants and hauled them to the edge of the field in a big pile, and they beat them to thresh them. And then what happens is that residue, I would guarantee you 99% of the time, it does not go back to the field. It's either going to be burned or it's going to be animal fodder. For somebody to actually take that and put it back in the field is just asking too much. So one of the projects that we've been working on is mobile thresher technology. And so these threshers can be built. They can be built locally. We do training and field testing, provide designs. So I'm very into open source designs. If you or your organization designs something, I don't think it should be patented. I don't think you should hide it. I think it should be openly available on the internet for anybody to find, so that people like these blacksmiths in Ghana can get hold of those designs and build good threshers. And then the threshers have to be built appropriately so they can be moved within a field. So they need to be, you know, fairly lightweight so that either a motorcycle or a motor king or a donkey can move it from area to area. And then it also reduces work for people. So instead of having to pull all the plants and bring them over to one area, they just can move the thresher and so that you get better dispersal than of the organic matter in the field. So how about combines for Africa? It's not an impossibility. I was in an agribusiness meeting in Ghana yesterday, and I saw a combine for $5,000. It was run off a two-wheeled tractor, and it was a very nice design. And it, instead of going to a bulk bin, the grain goes to a bagger. And so it fit well in with the agronomic culture in that area. And is $5,000 too much for a single farmer? Heck yes. It's a service provider model, so you have people that can get backing, and then they become service providers, and they go from farm to farm and provide combine services, just like you see in many parts of the United States still. So we do see some old U.S. combines get imported into Africa. You know, some of the problems with that is parts. There's no parts sector, so that's not necessarily a good possibility. So again, I'd like to see local production of these really small combines. And so, and then you get exactly what you need, which is dispersal of the organic matter out the back of the combine in the field. How about finding alternative sources of animal fodder? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. If the animals are competing for the crop residue, we have a big problem. So how do we solve that? So some of the other things that mechanization technology can do is we can improve our production efficiency. If people's production is more efficient, they have the chances of better economic outcomes, where they can then afford fertilizer and increase the biomass that's made, thereby increasing the organic matter that's left on the field. And so if tractors and implements were more available and affordable, farmers could plant fodder for animals in addition to crops. So if you had a tractor, instead of having to hand hoe a hectare, if you have a tractor, maybe you can do 5 hectares now, and 2 hectares of that is set aside just for animal fodder. So this is, you know, that would not work in places where we've run out of land. Like I know in like Malawi, land is very hard to get, but in a place like Mozambique, there's tons of empty land. And you could definitely increase production and then produce for animals, so you wouldn't have to compete for the crop residue. I'm sure a lot of people here have said improving rotations. But if you have a tractor and it's not all hand labor, that's going to allow you to do some non-food crops too. So perhaps some green fallow or cover crops could then be planted too. So some of you may have heard my other talk where I talked about this tractor. So the Soybean Innovation Lab is partnered with a company called Ogun. This is an open source tractor. Some of you may recognize it's designed after the old Alice G. But this can be built in Africa under a licensing agreement. So any entrepreneur in Africa that wants to build a tractor, and it doesn't even really require a factory, but you can build this tractor. And if anybody wants to talk to me about it, I will. I'm not going to go into detail with it now for the sake of time, but this is designed after a tractor that's still going after 70 years, and it's built. It's got good maneuverability, zero turn radius, and it's small and it's affordable for service providers in Africa. And it has very few parts: no brakes, no clutch, no radiator, no steering box. Very few ways to break down, and all the parts you can see all the parts. Nothing is hidden. But one of the really nice things is that this tractor is a type called an implement carrier, and so you can do a lot of implements here, especially ones that are geared towards conservation agriculture. So the little plant, the planter there behind it is called the Morrison no-till planter. So this can be used, and you can also hook a sprayer up behind. So this tractor can help you eliminate tillage. But what I really like about this tractor is that it can be modified. It can be modified to become a truck, a combine, a forklift, a skid loader. And so that open source design allows designers and users to benefit from improvements and advances, and allows them to get into the design of this itself. And so if we have somebody that thinks they can build a combine, the one I saw in Ghana that was on the three-wheel tractor could easily be unhooked from that three-wheel tractor and stuck on this Ogun riding tractor. But we are looking for people who are interested in designing and converting this into a small combine, because if you could combine your tractor and your combine, then you know you're really looking at a savings and a real boost for service providers. So, and then the designer of that combine would then license their innovation. I guess we don't have time for questions, so that's it. Thanks.